This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Wapagan Ampake Pagan alongside Bahe Yusuf. Venom is now in cinemas, and I have many, many thoughts about how stunningly average and dull this movie actually is.
I have no thoughts about how stunningly dull and average this movie is because it's stunningly dull and average.
Another superhero slash supervillain movie. I don't know what you would call this.
An anti-hero thing. Yeah. Anti-superhero thing.
Directed by Ruben Fleischer, who previously did Zombieland. It stars Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed. If you ever want an example of how overqualified Michelle Williams is, you need to watch this movie.
Michelle Williams needs a better agent because she shouldn't be doing this movie.
If she's looking for a franchise, this is not it.
No, it's not. Why is she in this movie?
So for people who don't know, Venom is a part of the Spider-Man comic line. He began as an arch nemesis to Spider-Man, and then he kind of became his own anti-hero.
Yeah, but that happens over the course of several years. It's not that it
Well over a decade.
Yeah, it's not like Venom sort of swapped sides in the course of three pages of a comic book. No, it was a long time that he was a massive arch nemesis to Spider-Man. So this movie sort of jumps to the end of that, of the Venom arc, really.
Well, it actually removes Spider-Man from the origin story altogether, right?
Yeah, don't even know if this is in the universe. Is it in the universe? Is it not? Lot of talk about it not being part of the Spidey universe.
Who knows? Who knows anymore? Because, yeah, of course, Venom is part of the Spider-Man property, which is co-owned by Sony, right? With Spider-Man Homecoming, Sony struck a deal with Marvel. They still own the rights, but they will co-produce the Spider-Man films with Marvel. And Kevin Feige will overlook those movies.
When was the last time you saw Homecoming?
About a year ago.
Oh, okay, so it's been a while. Do you know, because I noticed in the Venom opening credits, it said in association with Marvel.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the Spider-Man was the same.
No, because Homecoming is a co-production with Marvel Studios.
Okay.
That's right. So this is something completely different. This is something Sony is doing by themselves.
And it shows.
Kevin Feige had very little to do with this movie. If you don't know who Kevin Feige is, he is, of course, the mastermind behind the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, I remember being promised an R-rated Venom movie. What we got instead was this deeply sanitized and interminably dull PG-13 flick. There is little horror, which for me is an absolute waste of an opportunity because Venom and body horror and all of the stuff that comes with it could have made for an excellent film.
Yeah.
The humor doesn't quite land because it's so scattershot and all over the place. It's also dark. The visual effects feel like it's out of the 90s.
All the Venom fight scenes happen at night.
And he is a character that is black.
Which doesn't help.
The entire final battle is such an unmitigated mess that you have no idea what is going on.
This is not a spoiler, but essentially Venom, the symbiote, fights another symbiote. And
you see it in the trailer.
You see it in the trailer. And essentially, it's just mush. It's just mush of things fighting. And once in a while, you see Tom Hardy and Riz Ahmed's face pop through the mush. But essentially, it's just mush.
You see like a split second of it in the trailer. And that's exactly as much as you see in the film.
Yeah.
With Tom Hardy's and Riz Ahmed's face popping up a little bit.
In the mush. It's just mush. I mean, it doesn't help that the other symbiote is also dark gray. Venom's dark blue, and then the other one's darker gray or
Dark blue slash black.
Yeah, and then the other one's dark gray slash black. So it's essentially just black on black at night. which is just weird.
Yeah. It feels like there was another movie here that was somehow edited down, removing all of the crucial elements you need for cinema, namely tone, focus, story, plot, character.
Also, for me, it feels like I'm wondering if the actors read a different script. Like, I don't know Michelle Williams. We're not friends. We don't hang out. But I can't think she'd read this script and go, yeah, I want to do this one. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't see her having done that.
There is so much that happens in this movie because the transition from Venom being an alien symbiote eating human heads and brains to wanting to be a good guy and not destroying the planet happens so quickly with so little character development that it actually is jarring. There is a monologue and you don't know why.
There was a monologue?
There's a little monologue about why he wants to stay on planet Earth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, wait, where did this come from? What happened? Did I become catatonic at some point during this film and just missed a whole chunk of it?
Yeah, because, yeah, he starts off very much trying to protect Tom Hardy. And then he suddenly starts eating, well, he ate one person's head who was trying to kill him. And then after that, it's just like, meh, I'm going to save everything. I'm going to do the right thing.
I like it here.
And you just go, really? Do you though? You spent all of maybe 2 days. And in two of those days, and in one of those days, most people were trying to kill you. You like it here? You need better standards.
Makes no sense to me at all.
None.
There is only one way to do an anti-hero movie, and Fox got it right with Deadpool.
Yeah.
That pretty much works. Every other time they've tried to make a movie centered around a character that is primarily a villain. I mean, the most recent one we've seen is Suicide Squad, which centers around characters that are primarily villains and keep reminding you that they are the bad guys throughout the film. It just kind of falls flat.
But that's the thing, right? You need to show me they are villains first. You can't just keep telling me they're villains. If you've shown me more of Harley Quinn in a Batman situation, you show me Deadshot, you show me all those guys be actual villains in the villain movies, in solo villain movies against Batman, whatever, then you can come back and say they've come together to do this good thing. Then it makes sense. You have to show me Venom being a villain first, fighting Spider-Man, fighting the cops, whatever, and then in the next movie you flip the script. Because again, in the comics, this happens over close to 10 years or just over 10 years, right? You can't do it in split second. And this movie feels like he goes from a guy who's not sure if an entity that wasn't sure if it was going to be good or bad, to suddenly deciding he's going to save the world.
In M. Night Shyamalan's Unbreakable, Sam Jackson's character, Glass, actually points something out at the end of the film, which is very, very important, in that how the villain and the hero relate to one another, how they actually define one another. And in this movie, the villain and the hero don't necessarily exist, right? There are no parallels here because Venom is supposed to be kind of both. And without Spider-Man in the picture, it actually makes no sense as to why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't the first time we've seen the character on screen. We've seen Topher Grace do it in Spider-Man 3, which was unfortunate because that was a movie that was really bloated with far too many villains and couldn't actually concentrate on the character of Venom, which is one of the strongest characters in the comic book.
Yeah. And I think for me, I thought the Topher Grace version of Venom was...
Of Eddie Brock?
Of Eddie Brock was significantly, maybe slightly more realistic than this version because...
What is Tom Hardy doing with his...
Voice. What is he trying to be? He at times he just sounds like a young Gilbert Gottfried. I don't know what's going on there.
He hasn't used his actual voice, I think, in the last 4 or 5 major blockbusters that he's done, right? From Mad Max to The Dark Knight Rises to Dunkirk, he's always doing a silly voice.
Even when he's in Peaky Blinders, the TV show set in England, he does a silly voice.
In Revenant as well.
Yeah.
He's not using... I have no idea what Tom Hardy actually sounds like. That's what I've realized after watching this movie.
Does anybody, though?
Nobody. I don't think Tom Hardy knows.
I think Tom Hardy's so deep into acting that he has lost himself.
Do you think he did the Venom voice? I couldn't find out if that was him. I think it might be him.
Because in the closing credit, it said Eddie Brock / Venom, Tom Hardy.
Okay, so he must have done the voice as well. He's kind of channeling Bane a little bit with a little more growl, right? I think that's pretty much what
and
it was.
Less Vader thing going on. Yeah.
I could not buy Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock. Also, for some reason, whenever cinema decides to portray journalists, it's like they've never, ever actually spoken to an actual journalist.
And I don't know, this Eddie Brock show where he's a roving reporter with a camera.
Investigative report.
Yeah, constantly reading from his notes while on camera, which is just really silly.
He feels more like Billy on the Street, but like a crapper version of Billy on the Street, right?
Yeah. It's like sort of kind of like Vice, but not really like Vice, but I'm constantly reading from my notes, which I found really annoying.
It is totally Vice light because all we see is like this quick montage over the opening credits.
Yeah.
And there is nothing there.
No.
We're just told that he has uncovered lots of secrets and taken down bad guys.
Just take my word for it.
Exactly. But let's go back to how overqualified Michelle Williams and Riz Ahmed are for this movie.
Mm.
The script is so clunky. They are given the worst lines.
Yeah.
Riz Ahmed is one of the greatest actors, I think, of this generation. If you've seen him on HBO's The Night Of, he is tremendous. And in this, he's just doing some silly kiddie fare. He has to ham up all of these crazy lines about how there is no God and we have to craft the next generation of humanity. He is a cartoon villain.
You know what, though?
He's a mad scientist cartoon villain.
Yeah, I was expecting him to break into laughter at some point, you know. But you know what it is? I need him to die. I needed him to have like cancer or something that he's trying to fix, because I don't know why he's doing any of the things he's doing.
No.
You know, he says he's trying to solve, oh, we want to save everybody, we want to fix cancer, blah, 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 we're doing all these tests, but
it's like a bad mirror to Elon Musk.
Yeah, but why? Like, give him something. Give him, tell me his mother died of cancer and he's trying to fix it. Give me something to bite on with regards to the character. I don't know why.
But there are no character motivations for any of these individuals.
No.
Not even the reason behind why Tom Hardy decides to finally go to the lab, Riz Ahmed's lab, and investigate what's going on. That flip, that turn, it's just so... He's standing on a bridge looking out, thinking his life is over, and then he goes, all right, let's do this.
Yeah, because he sees the office in the distance and he goes, yeah, I'm gonna do that.
I'm gonna give you a phone call.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Jenny Slate's completely wasted.
She doesn't do it. She's in it for like the first half hour and she doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything. It's a weird movie.
This really is a movie that feels like it's out of 1994.
Yes, yes. I think quite a few people have said that online as well.
Have they? Like just early 90s superhero flick, right?
People have compared it to Catwoman.
I don't think it's that bad, lah.
It's not that bad, but only because the graphics are decent.
Slightly more decent.
Slightly more decent.
Not 100% more decent.
I'm disappointed in Ruben Fleischer.
Yeah.
I loved Zombieland.
I
do love Zombieland. Although after seeing him do this, I don't know anymore. Is this a studio meddling thing, you think? Is this an overly produced movie, you think? I mean,
it might be, because I keep thinking about how there was initial talk that we might get an R-rated Venom film.
Mm.
And for me, it feels like this is the kind of movie that you should experiment with. Because yes, Venom is a fan favorite. But Venom is not a mainstream character by any sense.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think to get the masses in is a bit of a stretch.
I mean,
Tom Hardy can pull in those crowds, but the character and the story of Venom does not. So why not make it an R-rated movie? Why not do a Deadpool?
Yeah.
Why not go nuts
and
have some real fun with this character who is the perfect Jekyll and Hyde story, right?
And you're right. I think it's the kind of question where you'd ask yourself, if you've announced or if you've made some intention clear that it's not going to be part of the Spider-Man universe, so why not go all out, right? Go Deadpool. As much as Deadpool is violent and funny, maybe just make this violent and horror or violent and dark. You know, there's a way to go there. As opposed to just doing this very middle ground thing, trying to catch, you know, three or four of the quadrants. Why? What's the point? You've wasted the character of Venom.
Even the opening sequence set in East Malaysia, supposedly in Cebu.
Mm.
I don't even know why it's set in Cebu. But
because they want to be specific.
It's there.
Mm.
even that has no redemptive value for this movie.
No, it could have been.
There were some
anyway.
People in the cinema that were very excited and cheered a little bit.
Yeah, well, they were cheering at a lot of points that I didn't think deserved cheering. So I won't take their cheering with a grain of salt.
There are also two post-credit sequences, and I have to admit that the second post-credit sequence, I won't tell you what it is, that's at the very end of the credits,
mm-hmm.
that redeemed the movie for me a little bit, even though it had absolutely nothing to do with the movie.
It made the... What was it? 118? Oh, how many minutes was the
slightly
movie?
Under 2 hours.
Slightly under 2 hours. Worth sitting through for that thing.
Yes.
Very much worth it.
Yes. The second post-credit
the
sequence.
The second post-credit sequence.
Which isn't really saying very much about yeah. Venom.
About anything.
Venom is now in cinemas. If you do check it out, let us know what you think. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.